Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two on the show. Delighted that you are with us. Thanks to Tim Reynolds and Bill Roth in hour number one for breaking down the ACC with us, talking a little football. Also heard from Lance Guidry. Let's start hour number two, talking University of Miami baseball, former Hurricane shortstop, my broadcast partner on ACC Network Extra, Huicho Hernandez, with us. Huicho, good evening. How are you?
Joe, how you doing, buddy? I'm doing well.
All is good. We got a big weekend series coming up here with the Clemson Tigers coming up. Before we get into Clemson, your thought, Miami coming off a nice win last night against FIU, lost 2 out of 3 to Notre Dame, but did take 2 out of 3 from Carolina and Virginia. Your thoughts on where the club is right now?
You know, I think the club's had some really nice surprises this year. You mentioned the 2 out of 3 against UNC and Virginia. You know, anytime you get to win a series in the ACC, you know, that's definitely a plus. You know, even last week when they went up to Notre Dame, lost 2 of 3 there. You know, a team that a lot of people were down on. That Notre Dame team is not as bad as their record was going into that weekend. And it's never easy, you know, to go up to South Bend and play, especially early in the season where the weather might become an issue. I think the big question, you know, that people are probably wondering is some of the struggles they've had in the midweek games. Early in the year, they had a couple games that, you know, one would expect them to win. I think that's kind of been the little bit of the issue with the team. I mean, if it wasn't for that, they'd probably be sitting somewhere around 16-8. I wouldn't be surprised if they were in the top 20 if that was the case. But because of those losses, they're outside the top 20 and they're just at 14-10, which puts a lot of pressure on these weekends coming up. I mean, they got, if you haven't looked at their schedule, the next 3 weekends, it's as tough as it gets for any college baseball team.
Well, it starts on Thursday. This week it's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday because of Easter. Clemson's number 2 in the country. So this is a great opportunity for fans to see a top program and for the University of Miami to maybe make a statement. This is a hell of a team coming in here. Clemson 22-5, 5-1 in the ACC, ranked number 2 in the country. So this is about as good as it gets.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, if you're a college baseball fan and you're looking for something to do this weekend, this should be at the top of your list. That team that's coming in is as you mentioned, depending on what poll you look at, a top 5 team, as high as number 1 in some polls. Their RPI puts them at number 1. This is a very, very well coached team, a very balanced team. So this is going to be Miami's toughest test this year. But the flip side of it, again, you go back to Miami and the strength of that team. It still continues being those top 3 starters. You know, you got a good starter on Friday night. In this case, it'll be Thursday night. And then they follow that with 2 good lefties to close out the weekend series. So Miami has, again, they've surprised at home in the ACC 2 ranked opponents. I don't think Clemson's going to take them lightly when they come in. But I'm curious to see what Miami does this weekend. It's a good opportunity for them to show, you know, the fans and show the people around the country just what they can expect out of this Hurricane team for the rest of this year. Because you're at the point in the season where you have a pretty good indication of what kind of team you have at this point.
Yeah, Clemson's won 7 in a row. They're going to go with Matt Marchell. He's 4-0. Ethan Darden, he's 4-0. And then Adam Knack, a freshman, just 1-0. So, but they're scoring runs. They've won 7 straight games. They get on base. It's going to be a fun series for Miami.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun series. And you mentioned the records for that starting rotation. When your team's 22-2, you're not going to have a lot of guys with losses on that rotation.
Yeah.
But you mentioned it. They're doing everything right. I mean, they're playing really good baseball. They're getting great pitching, and they're getting great defense, and they're scoring a lot of runs. I mean, last weekend they had a weekend series against Florida State. Florida State had come into that weekend, you know, off to an incredible start. A lot of people talking about them being, you know, top 10 team, and they went, you know, they played Florida State 3 games, and they won 15-5, 9-8, and 14-12. And that's a pretty good Florida State team as well.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting to me that they come in number 2, and there was a time, and people, we kind of go backwards with University of Miami sports, whether it's football or baseball. So if we went backwards, a team like this would come in to the light, ranked 2nd in the country, and they would just be coming into a hornet's nest. They'd be coming into a real pot boiler. But things have changed. And as you, perhaps when you played for Coach Frazier and Coach Morris, a team like this would come in, it would be an ambush. But things are different now. How much has college baseball changed as you've watched it over the last 20 years?
Well, I think the first thing that comes to mind, Joe, and that's a great question, is parity. I think that you go back to my era, and even after I played, maybe the next decade or so, there was you had the real dominant teams, and then you had everyone else. And Miami, of course, being one of those dominant teams of that era. I think now, and we've talked, you and I have talked about this during our broadcast, you look at some of the emergence of even the state schools. You know, we talked about UCF, who back in my era wasn't a team you thought about a lot. Now they're becoming a national power. You talk about, you know, FAU just up the road up in Boca. They've had, you know, some success over the last decade or so. So college baseball, you know, the parity in college baseball is kind of leveled the playing field a little bit. However, now go back to, you mentioned, you know, Clemson's coming in, it's the hornet's nest. I think when you get these big weekends and you get a Clemson coming into town, and I know it's spring break for a lot of families, you know, I'm hopeful it is a hornet's nest and they come in and they run into, you know, orange and green and a strong crowd supporting, you know, the Hurricanes. But college baseball is not what it used to be maybe 20 years ago. And I'm not saying it in a bad way. It's actually great. I think it's in a strong place right now. And then the last piece of college baseball is, you know, we hear it in football. We don't hear it as much in baseball, but you're hearing it now is NIL. NIL has leaked into the baseball game, and I think that will continue impacting what happens, you know, with college baseball as well.
You know, I listen to what you say, and I think you make really good points. And it's funny because Coach Frazier, Coach Morris, in particular Coach Frazier, fought so hard for college baseball. And college baseball probably is advanced to a spot now where Coach Frazier maybe dreamed of where it would be, but it's also been, to a certain extent, to the detriment of places like Miami or Southern Cal or Arizona State, those schools that dominated in those eras. Because now, like you said, if you're a baseball player, you don't necessarily need to go to USC or Miami or Arizona State. You can go to Florida Gulf Coast or FAU or Cal State or whatever it might be on the West Coast, because every game's televised. Stadiums are much better today than they were 10, 15, 20 years ago. And if you're a prospect, somebody's going to find you. There are no secrets out there anymore.
Yeah, and that's a great point, Joe, because you look at it, and one of the – I mean, I remember when I got recruited, and one of the pitches were, hey, you're going to play on TV, you know, 12 to 15 times a year. And that was pretty cool. Now every game for Miami's on TV, and most programs around the country can say the same thing. It's just the coverage of the sport has taken off. The other part of it is you look at whether, you know, regardless of what brand you want to follow, and I don't need to get into the names of the brands, all these brands are supporting these schools like never before. I mean, the swag bags these kids get now, it's incredible. And it's not just the big schools; it's across the board. I mean, you look around, and they're all getting their swag bags. They're all, you know, getting some pretty cool gear. That didn't happen 20 years ago. That didn't happen 30 years ago. And you're right. I think you go back to where this all started, and I think Coach Frazier is one of the pioneers of that movement.
What do you think so far of let's take a look a little bit more at University of Miami. We'll start with Cuvée at third. He has been a real eye-opener as a freshman, very polished player and person.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a chance to interact with him on a couple occasions. I could probably spend the next hour for you talking about him and how impressed I am with this young man. I mean, he's just been as advertised on the field. He's absolutely a stud. When you get to talk to him off the field and you realize what an incredible young man this guy is, it makes it even that much more impressive. And what I tell people when they ask me about this team, you know, again, I think the team's great. I do think this is a team that could surprise some people down the stretch. But I also think, like, you're looking at a big leaguer. I think Daniel Cuvée will be a big leaguer. I think Blake Sear has potential to be a big leaguer. You go down this roster and you got some guys that you get a chance to see them as 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds in your backyard. And I think Cuvée is one of those guys. I mean, you know, something would have to go drastically wrong, I think, over the next few years for him not to be an early round pick his junior year. And again, I'd expect to see him play at the highest level.
The three starters are pretty good, pretty solid for the most part. But when the University of Miami has to go to their bullpen early or use their bullpen a lot during a series, it gets to be a bit dicey. How does JD and Laz Gutierrez coach around that for the remainder of the year? It's a long season, and probably don't have every spot where they want it to be because of some other reasons. So how do they try to coach around it?
Yeah, I think it's a couple things. You know, you said it's a long season, and that's the first thing. You got to recognize as a coach, this is a long season, and you're not playing for this weekend or last weekend or even the next weekend. You're playing to make sure you're peaking somewhere towards the end of April and carry that into the postseason. So that's the first thing you got to keep in mind while still having to win baseball games down the stretch. When you look at the first approach is going to be, you mentioned those three starters, whether it's Gage, you know, the day one starter, Rafe, or Hendrick, you're seeing it already. They're getting a lot more rope to go a little deeper in games than maybe you've been seeing out of this Hurricane coaching staff over the last few years. So part of that is because they're good, but the other part of it is you don't want to go into the bullpen too soon because you don't have a lot of depth there and you just have a lot of unproven players. It doesn't mean they're bad. It just means they haven't proven themselves yet. So as a coach, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to go a little longer in games with those three starters. The danger of that is, as I mentioned, it's a long season. You don't want to go too long and get to the point where these kids, you know, are burnt out, you know, by the end of April. So it's a fine balance between the two of those things. The next part is, you know, you're seeing it, and I've seen it with Brian Walters. I love the way they're bringing him back into the game. I mean, we talked about his talent. This is a guy that throws mid-90s. He's got a great breaking pitch. He's a guy that will definitely end up, you know, I think if he doesn't end up as a closer this year, it's because Nick Roberts does a great job. But he's a guy with incredible talent. And if you notice, every time they bring him out, it's like an inning here, but it almost feels like he's on a pitch clock. And it doesn't matter where they're at in that inning. When that pitch clock hits, and I'm not talking about the pitch clock, I'm talking about the pitch count. When that pitch count hits, they're going to bring him back out. And they're kind of babying him in there, back into the mix of things. And the idea there is that, hey, we don't need him to be perfect right now. We just need him late April, going into May, and hopefully June. So I think once he's full strength, he's going to be a huge addition to that bullpen. Right now, they don't have him full strength. And then you need someone needs to step up. I mean, right now you look at that bullpen and you got to like what you're seeing out of Nick Robert. I mentioned Brian Walters. Cinta's done a good job when he's been called upon. But then after that, you got a lot of guys that sometimes they have good outings and sometimes they have, you know, real bad outings. And there's got to be some more consistency out of that bullpen if the Hurricanes, you know, want any chance of, you know, really getting into the ACC, making some you know, headwind in the ACC tournament and hopefully get into the postseason play as well.
So the other position that I think is really tough for them right now, and you picked up on this, you're playing a lot with a freshman shortstop. Now, people can say, well, you got a freshman at third base. But a freshman shortstop, there's a big difference if you ask me. Such an important position, such a demanding position. You got a kid, Urso, who's a senior, has played a lot of baseball, but your future is Jimenez, and he has had some inconsistencies with the gloves. So they, I think, really have nerves of steel. You know, you're trotting a freshman shortstop out there.
Yeah. Yeah, and so you mentioned both Jimenez and Urso. They have 9 errors between the two of them. So you look at the Hurricanes have only played 24 games, and you're looking at more than a third of the games you've had an error out of the shortstop position. That's just way too much. And again, remember the conversation we just had about pitching. When you don't have the strongest bullpen, the last thing you want is to put more pressure on that pitching staff. And this Hurricane team up the middle has to be strong. And you know, they got a real solid second baseman in Dorian Gonzalez Jr. He still hasn't made an error. He's been perfect on the season at second base. But they have to get better play out of the shortstop position, whether it's Jimenez or Urso, because it just puts that much more pressure on especially the bullpen. And not only the bullpen, you know, I mentioned the starters and pitch counts. Guess what happens when you make an error? You just added an extra 5, 6, 7 pitches to your starter, which means now he doesn't go as deep in game. So everything feeds off of you got to play solid defense to let those pitches go deep in the game and give yourself a chance and also just take some pressure off that bullpen.
By the way, how about these rankings in college baseball? Okay, 6 of the top 10 are from the SEC, with Arkansas ranked number 1. But then if you expand it a little bit and go to the top 15, it's, I want to say 11 of the top 15 are either SEC or ACC.
Yeah, I mean, right now, the college baseball, it's ACC or SEC, and depending on what conference you're in, you're going to say one is the best over the other. It's dominating, you know, the rankings. I mean, you got teams. I mean, take Florida for example. You know, Florida's 14-10, and if you look at Division I baseball poll, they're 6th in the country with a 14-10 record. They're also 6th in the country with a 14-10 record in the coaches poll. It speaks to the strength of the conferences. Whether you agree with that or not, that's what's happening. I mean, you know, up and down the rankings, it looks like everyone in the ACC or everyone in the SEC is there. So it's going to be fun to see, you know, who comes out of these conferences. I mean, they're both stacked. But it seems like that's the case every year.
Well, we'll wrap it up with this. So you're a little bit of a left field question, but you've got a great eye. Your thumb is on the pulse of baseball in this town at every level. How good is the high school baseball today in South Florida?
Yeah, it still remains, you know, when you say South Florida, it still remains one of the top hotbeds for college baseball and professional baseball in the country. You talk to anyone and they'll tell you this is where the best baseball players are at. They come down here to scout this area heavily, you know, whether it's Dade County, Broward County, even Palm Beach County. I was looking at some high school rankings earlier today. Stone and Douglas is, you know, in the top 5 or top 10 around the country. I mean, there's so much that happens down here. And I think that's why some of these other Florida programs have become so much better, because they realize we just got to recruit in our state, and recruit in our state, we'll have enough players to go around. But if you're looking for baseball players, you know, spend some time in Florida, especially South Florida, you're going to find a bunch of them.
Wicho Hernandez, former Hurricane great, our guest. When are you going to run for mayor? Can I be your campaign manager?
Joe, you can be anything you want to be with me, buddy. You know, I'll have you next to me at any journey I go on, but don't count on me to run for mayor anytime soon.
You're the smartest guy in Dade County.
I appreciate those comments.
All right. Well, I didn't mean just Dade County, but, you know, Dade and Broward, but you live in Dade, so.
Joe, you're the best, right, man. Thank you for everything you do for the Canes, man. It's always a pleasure listening to you, and anytime I get a chance to get on your show, it's a highlight of my day, so thank you.
All right. I'll see you this weekend. We'll have a lot of fun for Miami and Clemson.
You got it. Be well, bud.
All right. That's Wicho Hernandez. Miami and Clemson tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Friday night, 7 o'clock. Saturday afternoon, 1 o'clock. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday because of the Easter holiday. So 3 big games for the Hurricanes this weekend at the Light. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, number 2 ranked Clemson. So hope to see you there. Hope to see a big crowd for Miami and Clemson. I'll be there. I'll be pulling into the parking lot with my XT4. from Williamson Cadillac, Miami's premier luxury dealership, which was founded over 50 years ago. And nobody, I mean, nobody does a better job when it comes to customer service than Ed Williamson. Williamson Cadillac, they're our friends, they're our neighbors. They built a loyal client base by staying focused on the customer experience. Let's face it, when you go in to a dealership to purchase a new vehicle, you don't want hassles. You don't want to be bugged. You want to get right down to the bottom line. You want to get in, you want to get out, and you want to have a good experience. And that's what's going to happen at Williamson Cadillac. They're going to treat you like family. You're going to have world-class customer service. So come in today, experience their preferred atmosphere. Easy to find Williamson Cadillac, US 1 and 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto, or online at WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com. Also, I might add this. When you purchase a new vehicle, sooner or later, you're going to have to go in for some kind of service. And their service department is outstanding, world-class. I was just there last week, in and out in a flash. So great customer service when it comes to purchasing an automobile. And of course, when you need service, nobody does it better. Get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle and experience a new Cadillac from your premier luxury dealership, Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, Trevor Harris is our wingman tonight, pushing all the buttons, helping us out. And we're here until 8 o'clock. Thanks to Huicho Hernandez for joining us, talking college baseball. Canes home Thursday, Friday, and Saturday this week for number 2-ranked Clemson. So it should be a lot of fun. We'll have the call of the Friday game and the Saturday game on ACC Network Extra. Tomorrow night is ACC Network. Then we'll be on Friday and Saturday on the telecast of Miami and number 2 Clemson. Midway through spring football, the spring game is April the 13th. Don Bailey Jr., Josh Darrow, and I will have that one for you on April the 13th. Let's talk a little bit about the Hurricanes defense with defensive coordinator Lance Guidry and Don Bailey.
With Miami defensive coordinator Lance Guidry, and first of all, Coach, happy birthday. Yours was the 25th, mine was the 24th.
Oh, yeah, we some Aries brothers.
How's it going, spring practice?
It's good. It's good and bad, like always. You know, you got some guys doing some good things, but then you get into some depth issues, and you just don't have enough right now. So a lot of young guys getting reps, things like that. And you can find out who can play and not. So it's always kind of good, bad, and ugly every day. Even when you think you have a good day, you go back and watch film, you're like, it wasn't quite as good. So you got to wait till you watch the film always.
How about let's go to the position group. Defensive line, what are you seeing out of that group?
Of course, we've got some guys out right now, you know, but we do have some little bit of depth inside at tackle right now. We don't at end because that's the guys that are hurt. Right. So, but I think we got a solid group, you know. We'll see when we get everybody healthy. Right now, we just got to get the guys who are getting reps, just get them better right now.
Linebacker Malin Noah is out, but gives you opportunity to work in a bunch of new guys.
Working a bunch of young guys, some redshirt freshmen and some freshmen. And you're finding out who can play and who can't, and who's gotten better from the fall, and who's made strides. So right now it's a little bit much for some of the freshmen, but then they got a couple other freshmen that can really play. So Bobby Pruitt's doing really good right now, and Popo's doing good. So that's the two guys that have kind of caught my eye out of the young guys that I think can help us next year.
Secondary, you lose James and you lose Cam. Those are big shoes to fill. Mm-hmm. How do you go about filling? Let's start with the leadership role that they mm-hmm. gave.
Yeah, you know, right now Harris is probably our leader right now in the secondary. He's playing really well, I think. The two new guys are still kind of learning the defense right now. I think that Mish Powell is doing good. 19, Savion's kind of struggling at times right now, but I think he'll get better just learning the defense and playing harder.
Year two. Mm-hmm. What difference does that make?
They know the defense, especially the guys. You know who you can count on right now. So it's kind of like an old hat to some of them. But the young guys that have came here and some of the new guys, they look like year one. So, yeah, it's always better year two. But at least the older players that have been here can help the guys that have just gotten here.
Coach, how's the offense improved? You deal with them all day, every day.
The quarterback's better right now. Of course, we're thin at running back. So not doing a lot of stuff inside other than putting the tight end running the ball, which is really good. A freshman tight end is really good. And then our kid that's been hurt, number 8. Golly, he's special. So I really like our tight ends. And we get a couple running backs healthy again. I think we got a chance to be really good. Offensive line is good. Of course, CC's out. So I think we got a solid group on offense with a guy that can pull the trigger.
Thanks for your time, Coach.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Bye, man.
Okay, Don Bailey Jr., Lance Guidry, spring football continuing on. Cam Ward obviously has looked good so far for the University of Miami. Some of those wide receivers have looked good. He mentioned the tight end carrying the football, which is kind of funny because I was watching that in practice one day, and then I had to go to my roster and look to see that, yeah, it's a tight end, all right, freshman tight end carrying the football as a running back, Elijah Lofton, and he looked pretty good doing it. I don't know if they'll do it in the fall or not, as Coach Guidry said, because they're short on numbers there. I wouldn't be surprised if they sign somebody, another running back, out of the transfer portal. But that was pretty interesting. And I think so far, he mentioned Jaden Harris, by the way. And I thought, you know what? He popped for me one day. And so maybe my thinking is the same as Coach Guidry. JoJo Trader, who's go back to offense, I think he's looked pretty smooth so far. I did like what I saw early on from CJ Clark on the defensive line. Thought he looked pretty good. We mentioned Cam Ward. He looks like, you know, Cam Ward looks like a real quarterback. That's not a shot Van Dyke. I'm just saying he looks like this guy has played the position and very comfortable when things break down, and he sees the field. I guess my observation would be just kind of watching him one day. I thought, yep, he sees the field really well. And, you know, when things break down and there's a little bit of chaos, you want your quarterback still being able to play with poise and clarity. And that's what I've seen from Cam Ward so far. So got another 2 weeks or so to go in spring football. Okay, it is the springtime, and I mentioned the spring game is coming up. So perhaps you want to show up at the spring game and show off some new gear, and the place to show off that new gear is by going to the Hurricanes team store. It's your one-stop shop for the latest and greatest in Hurricanes gear. They've got jerseys, they've got hats, they have t-shirts, they have quarter zips, they've got accessories, they have everything you need to show off your Hurricane pride this spring. Where is the new Hurricanes team store now? You also need to check in because they've had all kinds of autograph signing sessions. Thesis Hotel in Coral Gables, easily accessible to all fans. Open Monday through Sunday, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturday 10 to 5, Sunday 11 to 4. Also on the concourse at the light for Hurricane baseball games. Don't miss out on the opportunity to represent your Hurricanes in the latest style. So visit the Hurricanes team store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Modelo is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, welcome back to the show. Happy that you're with us. Trevor Harris is our producer. It's been a smooth ride so far with Trevor. Thank you, Trevor. Hurricane baseball team home Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So tomorrow, Friday night, and then Saturday afternoon. No game on Sunday because of Easter Sunday. So it's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The University of Miami has, usually on this show, let's face it, we concentrate on football, basketball, and baseball. But they have so many great stories throughout the campus. Women's basketball, women's tennis, track and field, volleyball. They've got a ton of great stories with their student athletes. A lot of really fun, entertaining kids, energetic, smart, bright. And one of those is in track and field, Russell Robinson. He's a men's triple jumper. And not only does he participate for track and field in the triple jump, he's a national champion and has a great story. And he joined Josh Darrow on the Behind the U podcast.
A very special edition of the Behind the U podcast is we are joined by a national champion. That guy right there just won a natty at the indoor championships for track and field in the triple jump. Russell Robinson, it is a pleasure to meet you. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you for having me, Josh.
So I kind of like how this works. From how I understand it, your first attempt in the finals was your best, and you just laid your cards out on the table and said, try to beat me.
Yes, sir. That was a goal from the very beginning. I'm glad that it was easy to stick with this time.
You have to help me out a little bit here. So how many are in the finals?
9 people in the finals, or 16 people made it to nationals overall.
And you were in the first heat, let's say. Which jumper were you?
I was the last jumper in the final.
All right, so everyone goes and you nail it.
Yep.
So they got to go. They each get 2 more times to try to beat you. So is that nerve-wracking?
It is. There was one or two competitors out there that I believe could, you know, put out a good jump that it would be a great competition to go back and forth with these guys. And it had me a little nervous up until their last jump. But after they didn't pass me, it was just like, it was exciting. I didn't even know what to do with my last jump.
Oh, so you had the, so where were you in the third round? Were you last again?
Yeah. So in the finals, the person with the leading jump will go last so they could see all the competition up until them. So I was the last jumper.
So you could have walked.
Yeah, I could have.
That is awesome. So you knew?
Yeah, I knew after the last guy didn't jump further than me.
Did he come close?
Not on his last jump, but he did have a jump that was very close to me. I jumped 16.76 meters and he jumped 16.73 meters.
Woo! They took the tape measure out for that one.
It was a close competition.
I would imagine a lot of sports, right? Like I think of in a basketball, like if a guy's hot, he's just a unique feel, right? If you run your fastest heat, might be a unique feel. So when you landed the jump, the one that won the championship, which I also believe, correct me if I'm not wrong, that was your best jump ever?
Yes, that was an indoor personal best.
Indoor personal best. So like, did you know? Like when you landed, did you know like that felt good?
Yeah, it did. I mean, my best jumps, my first jumps are always the ones that feel so smooth and easy. So it's just like, it didn't feel like, yo, it was this crazy jump. It just felt like that's what I needed to do. And when I heard the number, it was like, okay, that's a great way to start the competition.
Did you look at any of the any of the guys you were going up against? It's like you look kind of scroll down and look at their faces at all and see like.
Yeah. No, well, yeah. A little bit. I was just like, yeah. Once I jumped out in my head, I was just like, yeah, that's how this is what we need to do to get this competition going.
How awesome is that? So let me ask you this. Last year, if I'm not mistaken, you came in eighth in this event?
Yes.
So what changed in a year's time? Like, what did you work on? What was your mindset? What was everything that went into going from eighth, which is obviously eighth at Nationals, great, but you are now the man. Number one, what changed in a year?
A lot of technical stuff that I didn't execute the best last year around, and just focusing on that and coming back just, you know, to compete, to have fun. This is my last year as an indoor track and field senior, and then going into the outdoor. This is my last year before it's over. So I just wanted to, you know, this is my chance to finally get a championship, a national title, and to just go out there and execute everything that I've been practicing and training to do. And the numbers will come with the technique and everything when I jump.
The moment they called your name, what was that like?
Well, the moment that was most exciting to me, kind of, I don't want to talk bad about the other opponent, but when he just didn't finish his jump, in my mind, I still had another jump, but it was just like, wow, like, this is really happening. I'm actually the national champ. I just won this competition. I don't need to really finish this jump, but, you know, let's go have fun and just finish the competition. And then after that, they had people giving interviews for the NCAA national champs. And then they called us up to the podium and was just like seeing all my coaches and teammates there. Happy. It was a good moment. And I was very excited during the whole time.
When did you call the folks? You had to call the folks.
Oh, yeah. I called them on the way back to the hotel.
Were they watching? I imagine it was streamed. They were watching.
Yes, they were watching.
So they knew too?
Yeah, they knew before. My dad is always sending me texts while I'm jumping, knowing that I won't see them.
What'd he send? Like, is it words of encouragement, or at this point, was it congratulations, or both?
It's kind of both words of encouragement. Like, let's go, Russ. Like, stay focused. You got this and stuff like that. And then once they knew I won, it was congrats and a whole bunch of support and love.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to be looking at my phone during the competition.
Oh no, I won't. I won't.
All right, so explain this to me, Mr. Robinson. You were a walk-on?
Yes, sir. I prefer walk-on. I was recruited out of high school, but I was not offered a scholarship at the moment when I first came here. Now,
so how did you end up at Miami?
In high school, I was doing track and field. I went to states for my Florida track and field, high school track and field. I won my event my junior year of states, and I started getting recruited by the University of Miami. When I was getting recruited, you know, I wasn't one of the best coming out of high school, but Coach Deem and Coach Jarvis took a chance on me and preferred me, allowed me to walk on here. And I had two, three great teammates that just pushed me, because being the best in high school to coming here and being on the bottom of the depth chart of the jumpers, it just put a lot of motivation in me to, you know, go and do everything that I need to be that better athlete.
Were you recruited somewhere that you could have gone on scholarship?
No, actually, no.
Did that motivate you?
That was another reason that motivated me, just because, you know, a lot of these coaches, if for all sports, they recruit based off numbers. And if you're not getting that certain number, then a lot of coaches won't recruit you. But Jarvis and Dean recruited me based off the potential that I had. And so I wanted to show that, you know, I can be one of those top athletes and not just some random walk-on, you know.
So either what do you think they saw in you, or have they told you what they saw in you?
I mean, Jarvis saw the athleticism in me and me trying. I didn't really have much of a coach in high school, so everything was just, you know, go out and do it. So, I mean, there's always like a base that coaches kind of see with athletes, and that, oh, I can help this athlete become that as long as they have this certain amount of athleticism or whatever they're looking for, you know?
Coach Jarvis was quoted as saying that he basically laid out a 4-year plan for you and your family. Do you remember the plan? Like, do you remember what he said?
I mean, part of the plan was just, you know, come in the first year and get me stronger, faster. I didn't know how to do the triple jump first coming in here.
So let me back this up real quick. The event you won in high school, was the triple jump or another jump?
No, I won the long jump my junior year.
They brought you in to be a triple jumper?
They brought me in to be a long jumper. I started triple jump my senior year of high school because I thought it would help me get recruited more.
And so completely self-taught?
Yeah. I mean, I had a coach that taught me the basics, but I didn't really practice it. Just went out to the meets and jumped.
And so you get to Miami and they have you what? As a long jumper or a triple jumper?
As both. I was mainly training as a long jumper, and triple jump was just, you know, my have fun event. Go have fun. Don't worry too much about it.
The triple jump. It's the have fun event?
Yeah, it was the have fun event. It wasn't the serious one until I started getting better.
Well, I think you've had some fun though, my friend.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You had the most fun.
Yep, it was fun going from basically nothing and not barely knowing how to do the sport to where I am now. And I was just getting better week by week with the triple jump every competition. So over time, that became my strong suit event. And long jump was, you know, the go have fun event rather than the triple jump.
So you've never really done the triple jump. You come to the University of Miami. I'm sure there are people who are jumping the triple jump who are pretty damn good at it. And you're out there trying to figure it out. You're telling me you were motivated, but I would seem to think that's also a little intimidating.
I mean, yeah, I guess if you think about it like that, but I like to think about track as you're not really competing against other people, but you're competing against yourself, trying to better yourself. I mean, yes, you're competing against other people, but you have to be able to do what you're able to do and be in control of what you can control, where you can't really do anything about somebody else jumping. So you just got to go and focus on yourself is what I see.
Was national champion a thought?
It was. Maybe not my first year, but it was definitely in the back of my mind, like it can happen. And each year seeing myself getting better and better, it was just like, all right, that I'm getting closer to that possibility. I've always wanted to go to the Olympics as well. So that's been one of the main driving goals. My background for like the last 2-3 years now, it's been the Paris, the road to Paris. So that's been one of the driving factors for me training. And then nationals just was one of those milestones on the way there.
You also wanted the ACC Excellence Award. So you're a pretty good guy too. Is there anything specific in the community you do that you're proud of? I know the athletes at UM are very, very, very active, but is there anything like specifically you do or have started that people should know about?
We have kids clinics every once in a while. I mean, I've been to different events, helping out with the kids, giving back to the community. They come up here to the track a few times a year and we train them or just show them the ins and outs of track and let them have fun out there on the track. And I love doing that.
I heard we're taking a little break. Are we taking a little break to recover these days? Some downtime?
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually on like a little 3-day break from nationals, but yeah, yes and no. In the off season, it's always still staying in the training room and doing rehab and strengthening the little muscles that we don't work on in the weight room. So yes, we have off, but at the same time, no, if you want to keep getting better.
When were you put on scholarship and how'd you find out?
So I went to this, I think this was the summer of 2022. I made it to the USA Championships. So this is post-collegiate where there's pros there. And I placed 4th at that meet. And I set a new personal best and a new school record at that meet. And that was after I had made it to nationals. I didn't do the best at NCAA nationals, but then I got to go compete against the pros and I got 4th place there at the US championships. And when I got back from that meet, Coach Dean told me that we were going to meet and she offered me 100% scholarship.
And how was that?
No, it was amazing being able to, you know, I was told in high school by my athletic director, he was like, yo, no, a lot of jumpers don't really make money like that. I don't know. I don't see you making money for a scholarship for jumps. You're going to have to go do this sprinting event. So just to be able to say that I walked on and then worked my way up into a scholarship and then just prove that I am one of those top athletes now and prove some people wrong, you know, that's what it felt. It felt great to finally have accomplished it.
A last thing, Russell, was somewhere in this, you mentioned something about when you came, part of it was, you know, there weren't as many jumpers. It was an opportunity for you then to attract more jumpers and kind of do some things that would be special in this program. But that program being the University of Miami, the U, right? That brand carries a lot when you travel and wear those colors and put that U in your chest. So what does that mean that you came down here and did it here?
I am from Florida. So the U, FSU have always been those top two schools that you hear about here in Florida. And I just wanted to, you know, come down here. Miami may not have had the best men's track program over the years in the past. So I wanted to come down and, you know, make history rather than just be another athlete at another school. I wanted to, you know, make history, put Miami's jump squad on the map, which I've done these last few years, and to make my own legacy down here at the University of Miami.
Russell Robinson, triple jump, University of Miami, national champion. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.